the valley, and they go up to Samaria to attack Israel at Samaria. At this time, his army is easily over 100,000 men, maybe 127,000 to 130,000 men. In fact, he claims his army, this could be a tweet. He claims his army is so large that if every one of his soldiers just grabbed a handful of dirt and walked away, there wouldn't be any dirt left in Samaria. That's some smack talk right there, right? He's like, there wouldn't even be, we wouldn't have enough dirt. We'd have to get it from somewhere else. Israel responds with 232 young men and 7,000 soldiers. That's all they have. 120-something thousand versus 7,000. They respond, and the short version is that God delivers all of the army to the 7,232 soldiers. On the mountain in Samaria. This is a pretty cool story. I think we've had similar situations like this, where we have great experiences with God on the top of a hill. On the top of a mountain. We just got back from camp, youth, and it's really great to say, this was an awesome experience. I was there Thursday night. Wasn't that a great service? That was awesome, and I sure hope that during those 5 days, Clayton, thank you for your testimony, that God impacted you in a mighty way. We need these experiences where we have a special, a different, a dynamic experience with God on what they would call a mountaintop. You might have been to a great service at some point. You might have this morning, you might have felt something really powerful with God. And that is real, and we should celebrate that, and that is an awesome thing. There's something about a mountain. There's something about a mountain. If you've ever climbed a mountain, mountains, they're great when you're out on them with a backpack. The air is clear. The sky is clear. There's no smoke pollution and all the stuff that the businesses are putting out of their factories. There's no light pollution. When it's dark, and you can see the stars. There's something about being on a mountain where your phone doesn't work and you're by yourself and you're connecting with nature and God. There's something special. And when you're in these moments, everything seems beneath you and everything seems more clear up at camp, doesn't it? Everything seems more clear when you take a moment and come down and worship God because you've left your cell phone at your pew, because you've left your problems from your week in your home, because you've left the stress of life behind you and you've risen to this mountaintop experience. And it's awesome. There's clarity. You can experience joy and love and peace. We can find victory just like these people felt. And you know what? Scripture backs this up. Scripture backs this up. Just think of all the mountains mentioned in Scripture. Some of these you're going to be like, oh, I've heard of that. And some of you are going to be like, I've never heard of that. That's okay. Mount Ararat, they're still talking. That's in the news right now. Did you know that? Where Noah's Ark is purported to have landed according to Scripture, they think they've found it. Mount Ararat was not just where the ark landed, it's where God made a covenant with Noah. Noah met God on a mountain after all this time in the water, and he made an agreement, we're going to have a relationship, and we're going to live rightly. That was powerful. That was a mountain experience. On Mount Moriah, if you've heard the story, Abraham is asked to offer his only son, Isaac, up to God as a sacrifice. And he climbs up Mount Moriah. And he doesn't have to do it. God spares him and provides a lamb. But Mount Moriah was an important moment in Abraham's life. One of those dynamic experiences with God. And you know what's interesting? Mount Moriah later became where the temple was built. Another place where the children of Israel would experience God on a mountaintop. You've heard of Mount Sinai. You've seen Charlton Heston maybe in the Ten Commandments. Right? And he goes to the top of the mountain and there's fire and brimstone and all this craziness. And God chisels out into the stone himself and gives 10 commandments. This is a powerful moment on top of a mountain. I preached a few weeks back about the place that God responds. We talked about Mount Carmel, where Elijah calls on God and says, you know what, God, if you're the God of them, you make their fire go, but if you're my God, if you're the God of Israel, you make this fire go up into flames. And God responds to Elijah on the mountaintop. There's so many powerful moments of these mountaintop experiences, and those are the ones that happened before this story. Think about the ones that happened afterwards. Jesus is revealed. He reveals his glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. On the Mount of Olives, Jesus weeps. He prays in Gethsemane. He ascends on the Mount of Olives, and he will return on the Mount of Olives. Jesus died on a hill called Calvary. A hill called Calvary, Golgotha. Jesus delivered the Sermon on the Mount, where he talked about the Beatitudes. So for the people of Israel, it might have made sense to them that the mountain is where we experience victory. The mountain is where God meets us. The mountain is where our lives are changed. And the king of Syria figured it out too. Because after he gets his butt whipped, he goes home and he says this. He says, we need the same size army. And let me read from verse 23. 1 Kings 20, verse 23. And the servants of the king of Syria said unto him, their gods are the gods of the hills. Therefore, they were stronger than we. But let us fight them in the plain, and surely we will be stronger than they. And you shall muster an army like the army that you have lost. Horse for horse, chariot for chariot. He's saying, we don't even need more people. We'll just do the same amount we had last time. Then we will fight against them in the plain. Surely we will be stronger than they. And he listened to their voice and did so. So it was in the spring of the year that Ben-Hadad mustered the Syrians and went to Aphek to fight against Israel. Aphek was not Samaria. Aphek was not in the hills. Aphek was in the plains. Aphek was in the valleys. Ben-Hadad goes back at the end of the year with another larger army. But this time he waits in the region of Aphek, a plain, a large and wide valley with no hills and no mountains, because the Syrians knew that God, the God of the Israelites, was a God of the mountains. They experienced God on mountains. They've had great moves of God on mountains. We can't touch them when they're on their mountains, but we will find them in their valleys. So they planned for a battle in the plains. They planned for a battle in the valley, and they expected victory in the valley. This morning, I want to talk for a short time on victory in the valley. This has happened to you. You have been to your camps. You have been down here worshiping. You have felt something special. Maybe it was years ago, and you had this special moment with God, and you walked away, and you went back to your life. You went back to your day. You went back to the drudge of your job and everything that comes with it. You went back to your valley, and the victory was not there. In fact, could I say that I think the enemy wants to attack us in the valley, because it's harder for us to withhold him in the valley. That's what he's getting at. We have our special moments with God on our mountains. We have our great camp services, our great camp meetings, and we leave and we go home to our valleys where we spend 90% of our lives, and we're not equipped for what the enemy is going to bring to us. That's the problem with mountains. People visit mountains. People climb mountains. People travel to mountains. Not many people live on the top of a mountain. You can experience a mountain, but you're not really supposed to live on the mountain. Well, Peter, that's not true. I know somebody. Where does the water go? To the valley. Where's the greenery? In the valley. Where's the soil for growing? In the valley. We are called to live in the valley, even though we can experience God on a mountaintop. But since the enemy knows he will not have success on your mountains or during your high moments with God, the enemy wants to have his victory in the valley. He knows he cannot have victory in the mountaintop, so he plans for his victory in the valley. But God has a different plan. That's what's so cool about this story. After Ben-Hadad and the Syrians come back in the spring with their 127,000 troops, and they're waiting in Aphek, and they're like, okay, we are ready. We're on our home court this time. We're in the valley where there's the chariots can roam freely instead of trying to climb up the hills. They know the hills. I get it. That's their home. This is our home court now. We're going to fight them in the valley. We're going to fight them at their low point. We're going to fight them where their God doesn't experience, where they don't experience their God. We're going to fight them in their low moments because their God is way up there. And we will have victory in the valley. But in verse 27, I love this. It says, and the children of Israel were mustered. It doesn't mean they were this yellow stuff, kids. Okay? Mustered means they gathered. Okay? They were mustered and given provisions. And they went against them. Now, at no point in this story does it say the children of Israel added more troops. So we're going to assume they're still at 7,000. The odds are the same, but they're in the valley this time. And they went against them. Now the children of Israel encamped before them like two little flocks of goats, while the Syrians filled the countryside. If we're going to be in a battle, I don't think we would call ourselves little flocks of goats. There's no NFL teams calling themselves the little flocks of goats, right? Nobody's doing that. Like, this is sort of a derogatory comment. We got two little flocks of goats in the middle of the valley, and everything else is the Syrians. They're not on a mountaintop this time. They're not having this great moment with God. They're in their valley. And there came a man of God, verse 28, and he spake unto the king of Israel. And he said, thus saith the Lord. So this is God speaking now. Because the Syrians have said, the Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys. Therefore I will deliver all the great multitude into thy hand, and you shall know that I am God. God says, oh, let me get this right. You think that I'm just the God of the hills? You think you only experience me on the hill? Oh, Ben-Hadad, you think you can defeat them because they're not on a mountaintop? We are going to have victory because you thought that I'm not a God of the valleys. And Israel wins the battle. They kill 100,000 soldiers in one day. In one day, they kill 100,000 soldiers, and the other 27,000 run away into a city, and a wall falls on them because there's victory in the valley. Can I say that God is not limited to a mountain because there's victory in the valley? Whether you've ever been on a mountain or not, it doesn't matter because you can find victory in your valley. You do not even need to go find a mountain. There's moments we should experience. We should climb a mountain and have a great experience with God. But if you haven't yet, it doesn't matter because God can provide victory in the valley. You don't have to wait for a special moment or a special mountaintop experience. There is victory in the valley. I don't know what valley that you're going through in your life. I don't know if it's a valley of mental health. I don't know if it's a valley of financial problems. I don't know if it's a valley of relationals. I don't know if it's a valley that you feel like you're in because religion and all these things are out there and that did not do you good before. There is victory in your valley. There is victory. I don't want anybody to leave today thinking, well, I got to attain. I need to reach. I need to climb. I need to know, because there, God is saying in this verse, if you think that you only get experiences on the mountaintop, I'm going to show you that you can have victory in the valley. There's something about saying, I don't need to be on the mountaintop. There's victory right here in this valley. David said it in Psalms 23:4. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. It says in other places, if God be for us, who can be against us? Being in the valley does not mean God is not with you. In fact, God is saying, I am with you in the valley, and you will find victory in your valley. We've heard the story of David and Goliath. There's been a movie about it recently, right? David fights Goliath in the valley of Elah. Not only do we have valleys in our lives, sometimes we're facing some big things. Sometimes we're facing some big giants. And you don't need to kill your giant on the mountaintop. The giants are killed in the valley. There's victory from giants in the valley because God is with you. There's a really cool story, and I encourage you to look it up, but there's this valley in the Bible called the Valley of Achor. The Valley of Achor. Achor means trouble. It's a troublesome valley. What happened was there was this really powerful moment where God makes a covenant with his people. And this one man says, I'm going to disobey that. And it ruins it for everybody, really, for a season. And then God so this valley, they call it the Valley of Achor after this man. And because of this valley now is known as the Valley of Trouble and the Valley of Shame. Shame. Maybe it's not a giant you're fighting. Maybe it's not a valley of the shadow of death you're walking through. Maybe there was something that happened in your life, whether it was you or somebody else, but you're walking through a valley of shame this morning. Maybe you made some horrible decisions and you're saying, well, you know what? This guy totally went against God, right? Maybe you're not there. Maybe you are. I don't know. But you're thinking, you know what? You don't know what I've done, pastor. You don't know what I've done, preacher. You don't know this valley I'm in. There's shame in this valley. This valley is named after me and what I've been through. It's a troubled valley. Starts as a valley of shame because it's named for one of the worst acts of covenant treachery with God. But the valley of trouble, the valley of shame becomes the valley of restoration. In Hosea 2:15, it says, I will give her her vineyards from there, and I will give her the valley of Achor as a door of hope. Wait, this is the valley that God called troublesome. The valley that's associated with the shame of breaking God. And God's like, yeah, that valley that you're in, that's the valley that will be the door of hope. In fact, this when they say door of hope here, it doesn't just mean, oh, look, there's a little door, let's open it. It means wide open door. God is trying to show us a lesson here that just because a valley has shame attached to it doesn't mean he can't restore you in that valley. He's saying that this is a valley as a door of hope. What that tells me is that God's not avoiding your trouble. God's not standing away from your trouble. He's not waiting for you to get up to the mountaintop before he will provide restoration. He's saying the very valley that you got yourself into is the very valley that I will provide restoration through. And by Isaiah 65:10, this valley goes from a place of shame and trouble to a place of hope and restoration. And look at what it says in 65:10. Sharon will become a pasture for flocks, and the valley of Achor will be a resting place for herds for my people who seek me. This valley of trouble and shame, God didn't say, you got to get out of here. He said, I'm going to restore you in that valley. It's going to be a place of restoration, and it's going to be a place of rest. There's victory in the valley. It's in valleys that God does some of his most transformative work all throughout the Bible. I don't think it's an accident that the people of Israel lived in a community that was essentially defined by a giant valley through the middle of it. God provides victory in the valley. There's a verse in Ezekiel, the last valley I want to share about this morning. There's a verse in Ezekiel 37. This is a really cool story. It says, the hand of the Lord came upon me, this is Ezekiel talking, and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. There had been a battle here at some point, I guess, I don't know. But Ezekiel is brought to a valley full of bones. Not a valley where giants need to be killed, not the valley of the shadow of death. Not the valley that where trouble and shame were, but a valley where death has existed for quite some time, where all there is bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And so I answered, O Lord God, you know. Maybe the valley you're going through is a valley that's dry. Maybe it's a spiritual dryness. Maybe you haven't experienced this presence of God maybe you felt it before. Maybe you've never felt it, but it feels dry and it feels like you're thirsty and you feel it's like it's empty. This is the valley we're talking about. And God asks Ezekiel, can these bones live? You know, it's a pretty dry valley. It's so dry, it's essentially just dust and bones. Can these bones live? He says, only you know, God. Verse 10, Ezekiel says, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. These bones that couldn't live, that shouldn't live, that were dry and forgotten about, rose up and became an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, verse 11, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel." This represents Israel, he's saying. Israel indeed says, "Our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off." I've been there. It feels like I'm cut off from you, God. It's just a dry season. I've experienced you before, but I don't feel like I'm experiencing you now. God, this valley is dry, and this valley is dead, and this valley is boring, and I want to experience you, but I don't think I can. I can't find victory in this valley, God, because it's full of bones and it's full of death, and I don't even know where to start. That's what he's saying, the people of Israel are saying. But God says, even though they say that, even though they say our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off, he says, "Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open up your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. When I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves." God is wanting to bring people out of the place that you feel is a grave, the place that you feel is a dry and wasted place where it feels like only death exists. And he's not calling you to a mountain to do this. He says, "I can provide victory in the valley if you can believe for it." He says in verse 14, he says, "Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves." This is awesome. Verse 14, "I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it." Whatever death is in your valley, God can bring it to life. Whatever dry bones are in your valley, God can bring it to life. However long it's been and it feels like it's eternity, God can bring it to life. Whether it's emotional dryness or spiritual dryness or financial or relational or just wanting to experience God again, God's not asking you to do some big thing. He will give you victory in your valley. Because in a valley with God, life can come from death. But it all starts with his spirit living inside of you. This is what's interesting at the end. He said, "I will put my spirit in you and you shall live." Can we stand this morning? The only difference between any of these situations is that God was with them. And that's why the valley is no different than the mountaintop when God's presence is inside of you. Because wherever you are, he is. He said, "I want to prove that I'm with you. I'll put my spirit inside of you. You don't have to go to no mountaintop. My spirit will be with you." And now the mountaintop is just anytime you're with me. And you can find victory in the mountain, and you can find victory in the valleys. But you might say, "Pastor, my valley is ugly. My valley is dry. My valley is barren. There's giants everywhere in my valley." In Song of Solomon, listen to what God says. He goes, "I am the lily of the valleys." He said, in your stinky, nasty, dry valley, he's like, "I am the thing that brings beauty and fragrance. I am dwelling in the valley." He didn't say, "I'm the lily on the mountain." He said, "I am the lily of the valleys." Wherever you are at in your valley, God can be with you. God is with you wherever you go. And he can provide victory in that valley. And this morning, I don't try to do this on purpose, but I've always got a little thing. There's a valley here. There's a valley right in this building. And it doesn't matter where you're at in your life. It doesn't matter if you walk down here or stay in your pew. But can I say there's something for me about making a personal choice? God, I want to follow you. I'm going to take a step. And if you want to experience God, if you want to find victory in your valley, I encourage you, come down here. No one's going to touch you or treat you weird. Just come down and speak to God however you feel comfortable. Maybe it's kneeling. Maybe it's sitting. Maybe it's raising your hand and crying out. Maybe it's quietly. I want to encourage you to come talk to God and tell him about the valley that you're in. Tell him about the valley that you're going to. Tell him about your giants. Tell him about your dryness. Tell him about everything that's going on and say, God, I just need something from you and I want to see victory in my valley. There's already people coming up. Let's take some time this morning. And if you want to experience God like you've never experienced him before, if you want his presence, his spirit to live inside of you, you can experience that today too. You come down, you put your hands in the air, and you say, God, my valley is not for me. I need your victory. God will meet you in this moment.